Can the brothers on Ilmu online put their mute button on? إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, has gathered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Continuing with Riyadh al-Salihin and the book of the affairs that have been prohibited, we come to the chapter An-Nahyu an Idhar al-Shamatati bil-Muslim, the chapter, the prohibition of being happy when something bad befalls the Muslim. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he brings the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Hujurat, verse number 10, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. The believers are only brothers. And we quote this ayah often, and Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he uses it for this chapter and many chapters to show if people are really brothers, then they don't do anything harmful to one another. And that how can you be happy about a calamity that befalls your brother? So here, Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah is using this ayah to show if we were really brothers, then no one would be happy for the misfortune of his brother. He also brings the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, verse number 19, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed those who love to spread the fahisha, or this act of zina, about those who believe, indeed for them is a painful chastisement in this world and in the hereafter. Those who like to spread the accusation that the Muslims are committing fornication or adultery, or they themselves, for them is a painful chastisement in this world and in the hereafter. And this is related to this point. It's a misfortune that befalls whoever happens to fall into it or doesn't fall into it, and then you become happy by saying, guess what so-and-so did, or guess what so-and-so got busted up, and like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he brings the next hadith, and this is to show happiness. The meaning of the hadith, to show happiness at the misfortune of your brother is to have Allah show His mercy on him and to test you. This hadith has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and for that we left it. And Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah, he ends off this with the hadith, kullu al-muslimi ala al-muslimi haram. The hadith, every Muslim is sacred to another Muslim. So he uses this hadith just to show in general, even if that hadith is not authentically reported to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that in general the Muslim is the brother of the Muslim, and the Muslim is sacred to another Muslim. And this all shows that no one should be happy of the misfortune that his brother falls into. As if sometimes you know that the Muslim is going to acquire some good, and the people say, I hope he don't get it. As if he's not deserving. And who are we to decide who is deserving of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is the one who knows who's most deserving of His bounties, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us deserving of His bounty. The next chapter, chapter تحريم الطعم في الأنساب الثابتة في ظاهر الشرع. Chapter, the prohibition of defaming someone's lineage that has been verified. And he brings the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala from Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 58. And in this ayah has come before, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا فَقَدْ احْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Whoever harms the believing men and the believing women for no valid reason, then they have committed a grave sin and a serious accusation. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibits harming the believers in any way or form. And amongst the ways to harm the believer is to defame his lineage or to talk against his lineage. And I don't know if we have this to be that common amongst us now, but whenever it's common or whenever it takes place, then Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited this. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith collected by Imam Muslim, إِثْنَانِ فِي النَّاسِ هُمَا بِهِمْ كُفْرٌ أَطَعْنُ فِي النَّسَبِ وَالنِّيَاحَةُ عَلَى الْمَيِّتِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he said, there are two things from the people, and these two things are kufr, or disbelief. To defame someone's lineage, or to talk against someone's lineage, and to cry over the dead person. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam shows the seriousness of defaming someone's lineage or talking against someone's lineage, as this is an act of kufr. And Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah and the ulama, they explain that this means it's from the actions of the kufar. And then some ulama say that it means whoever makes it permissible to talk against the Muslim's lineage, then he is a kafir because of making that thing halal after the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had made it haram. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, from this hadith we see that he gives some importance to a person's lineage. And we're going to deal with this inshallah ta'ala Thursday night in a little more detail. But just now, that everyone must be known of their lineage. We used to have this in the days of Jahiliyyah, Jazakallah khair, that we didn't want to be known by our slave master's lineage. In Islam, everybody is supposed to be known by his lineage. My father is so-and-so, his father is so-and-so, his father is so-and-so. It don't make a difference what somebody's name is. The difference about the name goes to the individual himself, that he has a good name, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had advised us. As for our father's name, it doesn't make a difference what he is. I'm so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. And we'd deal with that a little more on Thursday night, inshallah. Bismillah. The next chapter that Imam An-Nawi rahimahullah, he brings is النهي عن الغش والخداع. chapter, the prohibition of cheating and deceiving. And he brings the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we just covered from Surah Al-Ahzab, and those who harm the believing men and the believing women with no valid reason. And Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, he uses this ayah too in general. Anytime you harm a believer, any type of harm is going to fall underneath this ayah. Anytime we do something against the believer that is harmful to the believer, then this ayah would show its prohibition. And it's not that Allah or His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has to detail every single thing that you do wrong, but to state this ayah in general is sufficient. However, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says in the authentic hadith collected by Imam Muslim, مَنْ حَمَلَ عَلَيْنَا السِّلَاحِ فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا وَمَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا. Whoever, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whoever carries a weapon against us, then he is not from amongst us. And whoever cheats us, then he's not from amongst us. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing us that cheating is not permissible. It's not permissible to cheat. And whoever cheats the Muslims is not from amongst the Muslims. Or as some of the ulama say, not from the Ummah of Muhammad. Or that action would not be befitting for a person from this Ummah. How can you claim to be from the Ummah of the Muslims and then you out cheating the Muslims? Why don't you go join another team? So as to say. Also we see the prohibition of carrying weapons against one another, as unfortunately we hear that some of the Muslims are carrying guns against the Muslims. This is not permissible, as the Messenger of Allah والسلام, says that a Muslim can't pull his gun out on another Muslim. And whoever does this is not from amongst us, as the Messenger of Allah والسلام, shows. And this shows the serious prohibition of letting anything get out of hand when it comes to the Muslims. As we had already covered the hadith where the Messenger of Allah والسلام, said that the Muslim is the one that the Muslims are safe from his hand and his tongue. Here the Messenger of Allah والسلام, is cutting off all avenues that will lead to the Muslims fighting. And this is the biggest avenue, the avenue that leads to killing by carrying weapons against one another. And this would also be in the chapter that the brothers don't seem to understand, pulling your gun on your wife who's a Muslim. So whether it's your wife or anyone else, it's not permissible, as some of the brothers think it's permissible because of the lady's mouth. When she gets out of place, I'll just put a gun in it and tell her, now talk. Yaqi, this is not permissible in this deen of Al-Islam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this hateful disobedience to Allah from our community. And the next narration also collected by Imam Muslim, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, marra ala subrati ta'amin فأدخل يده فيها فنالت أصابعه بللا فقال ما هذا يا صاحب الطعام قال أصابته السماء يا رسول الله قال أفلا جعلته فوق الطعام حتى يراه الناس من غشنا فليس منا. Now this narration, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام, makes this issue of cheating us very clear, as he says, as the narration goes, that the Messenger of Allah والسلام, was walking past a person who had his big setup of food. So the Messenger of Allah والسلام, put his hand in the food, and then he felt that it was a little wet in there. And to make this example a little clearer, you're selling rice, and rice is dry. You got your big bowl of rice, you're selling it, pound of rice, $5 or whatever. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he digged his hand in there and found out it's all wet and soggy at the bottom. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, said, oh, the one who has this food, what do you think you're doing? He said, Ya Rasulullah, it got wet from some rain. So the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, said, if you had only put the food that was spoiled on the top so that the people could see it, because whoever cheats us is not from amongst us. So here the Messenger of Allah والسلام, is showing that it's not permissible for the Muslims to cheat the Muslims, as we see in this example. In this example, it comes in only some of the hadith, and others of the hadith we don't find the story attached to,
the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. But alhamdulillah, and some of the hadith, the narrator, he brings the whole story behind the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, as this makes his statement a little clearer, as you can see somebody cheating.
Sheikh Salim al-Hilali hafadhullah, he brings some of the fifth of this hadith that is very apparent, and that is the prohibition of spreading or distributing any product in a deceitful manner. You know, like nowadays, unfortunately, if you package something or you fold it a particular way, then you can hide the hole in it, in the thobe or whatever. You fold it like this, say it's brand new, look at it, it's good. Can I just check it out? Check it out, look at it. What I look like? I'm Muslim. The hole is inside, then you get it, and then you get home, and then you try to come back and say, I want my money back, it got a hole in it. So I ain't got nothing to do with no hole you put in the thobe. He said, well, I want my money back. And then the brother who sold it to him, he said, don't you know the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-bay'ani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa, that the one who's buying the product, he has a choice to give it back so long as he hasn't left the marketplace. So he said, well, you went home and all that, how you going to get your money back now? And the Prophet ﷺ said this, because in this cheating, you can get over. If you get over on the spot and the person leaves the marketplace, then it's like you over. So you can get over on the people, but you can't get over on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, you are not from among us when you do this. And the people who get over on the Muslims, he needs to know that he's not from amongst the Muslims. Because sometimes we think we over when we get over. But you're not necessarily over in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you get over. Because you can get over on the people, but you can't get over on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salim al-Hilali, he says that we see from this hadith that it's compulsory for the one who is selling, in order not to deceive the people or to cheat the people, that he shows his product just as it is. Yahi, the leg is a little broke on here, I put some glue on there, you gotta be careful when you take that chair. Or whatever, the Muslim is selling, he's going to show the good points of it, and if something is bad with it, a defect in it or whatever, then the Muslim is going to sell it. And the Muslims have more right to do this than the kuffar who sell their clothing, they say irregular. To show you something's wrong with it, you know, something wrong with it, I'll sell it to you at this price if you want it. And the Muslims, we have more right to follow the etiquettes of this deen, to be on the truth, than the disbelieving people. Also, we see from this hadith, as the Shaykh Salim al-Hilali is saying, he's saying that we see from this hadith that it is important for the one who is in charge of the affairs of the Muslims to go through the marketplace, of course, of the Muslims, in our circumstances, of the Muslims, and to check it out, to make sure that nobody is cheating, and that nobody is getting the people's money unjustly in the marketplace. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for me. Sometimes in Shuma before the khutbah, I go check the brothers out, make sure nobody's trying to get over on the Muslims. And it's not for the Muslims to say, I ain't doing nothing. This is from the etiquette of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, to check something out. If you're innocent, you don't have no problem with somebody checking your stuff out. Ain't nobody going to take nothing from you. We just going to make sure you're not getting over on people. That's it. As the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did that, and you didn't see that the man, he said, what you think you're doing, Ya Rasulullah? I've been beating the people all day, making this money. Here you come messing up my program. So it's important for the one who is in charge to check out the affairs of the Muslims as much as he could, to make sure that the Muslims aren't cheating anybody. And this is what we hope to establish one day, as one of our brothers, Saadi Shabazz, he had a nice idea, and that was that the Muslims' businesses, someone needs to go around to all of them and to let them pay a certain amount of money for a man to have a full-time job as inspector of the Muslim businesses, to go around to make sure that the food is halal, the products in there are halal, to make sure that the place is clean, to make sure that the people in there aren't major sinners, to make sure at the time of the Salat they close their stores and go to establish the Salat, and so on and so forth. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to unite to this level where we can employ a man that's going to check out the Muslim businesses. And if the people get strong enough in supporting the Muslim businesses, then we can demand from the stores to put in a certain amount of money. We buy from you, we support you, kick out $50 a week for this brother. And then the other store, $20 a week, every store according to how much money the store makes. Whatever, he gives out $10 a week, the other one $100 a week, so that somebody can get a salary in order to take care of his family, and then to check the Muslims out to make sure that the Muslims' businesses are legit. Because one of the problems that we still have, unfortunately, in uniting and really being an ummah is our lack of trust for one another. And how could we trust one another when we still cheating one another? Muslims getting over on Muslims, and many of us know this, unfortunately. You go to the Muslim, he hiked his price all up. And then when you tell him, "Akhi, it's too high," talking about I gotta pay lights, and you know, I got a family, and so on and so forth. You know, everybody else, the other store, he got a family, he got lights too. Why are you trying to get all that money off of the Muslim? We should live as Muslims, even the store owners. They should live humble lives, just like the rest of the people. And when you see Islam really being practiced, and I think we may have an example in our community, inshallah ta'ala, people make money from their business, but they try to keep their prices real low and affordable for the Muslims. He's not trying to get paid like a big payday. He's just trying to earn some money for his family. Take care of his family, take care of their needs, give a little sadaqah and what have you. He ain't trying to be a millionaire from a store, unfortunately, like many of us try to do. As we remember Jahiliyyah and the days of poverty, as soon as Allah bless us and give us a little bit, we try to snatch it all up from the people. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us successful in our business affairs. Also we see, and this is a point, and this is a point for the people who think that we need to go to the kuffar and to study economics because the Muslims need to get their economics together. For those people who still have the veil over their eyes and can't see straight, this hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam can help them uncover that, to show that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam showed us how to get our economics together in this hadith by having sound business practices in our business. And the main practice that each Muslim should have in his practice, in his business, is truthfulness. Showing the product. Not doing like they teach us in marketing nowadays, or in sales at the kuffar schools. They teach you to cheat the people. Wallahi, marketing and the people are doing it so much nowadays. They have the catch in small print. You need a microscope or something to read it at the bottom of the page. And you look and it seems like a deal. You sign off, now you're trapped. And you just take your money. And they do this for the armed services. Oh, we'll give you a... And when you get in there, then they give you a mop, tell you to mop the floor or something like that. You just see the bottom line, you were flat-footed or something. Allah musta. And in sales, you see the people trying to sell you something that's broke. Nah, look how it works. Pour dirt on your carpet. Look how it works and stuff. And then when you buy it and you pour dirt on your carpet, you have to buy a new one. And you know how the practices of the kuffar are and they're selling. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, is showing something in the business practice, cheating. If it's there, can destroy the economy of the Muslims. And we see it as it doesn't make us trust one another, which won't make us support one another, which will just lead to the failure of the Muslim businesses. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, if we hold fast to his hadith, then there's no need for the sciences of the kuffar. But that the Muslims, if they hold fast to the ayat of the Book of Allah and the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, what's in them is sufficient with the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in his creation to be in charge of the world. And the proof is that the Muslims came out of the desert, illiterate, on camels, and became leaders in the world in every science and every aspect of civilization.
And this was with the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't go out to study the kufar sciences to get strong. The Muslims studied the Quran and the sunnah to get strong. And it was compulsory that anyone who wanted to study math or science or whatever, that it was compulsory that he studied the deen first before they would teach him that. As they wouldn't teach anyone anything until he got his deen down. And now today we do the opposite. As I hear in the Muslim lands, the brightest people in school, in elementary school, they let them go off to be doctors and whatever, engineers and what have you. And the people who slow, like special ed, they put them in the Islamic schools. And we saw in the school that a lot of the people were a little slow. And they put them there, go study the deen. Because the person is slow and they don't put any importance on the deen. But what we need to realize is that when we say we follow the Salaf al-Saleh or the righteous predecessors, what they had of the Quran and the Sunnah before the bid'ah and the deviance came on the scene, we say we follow them because this bid'ah and deviance came on the scene when Islam spread out far and they began to study from the Greeks and the Romans and to learn about their civilization and then to start writing some of that garbage philosophy into the Muslim books, and then the Muslims became destroyed by following the knowledge of the kuffar. What we have in the Quran and the Sunnah is sufficient, and it's only not sufficient for the people who don't read the Quran and the Sunnah. And every time you hear a brother talking about we need to get involved with the economics, or we need to send our children to school for business, and so on and so forth, we have to get our economic base strong and such, you can tell right away he doesn't read the Quran or the Sunnah. That's why he's talking that foolishness. And we'd always be a little off when we don't follow this Quran and the Sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Like the brother who came to my office the other day and said, Abu Muslima, you know, we're not calling the people to Islam enough. People out there never heard of this deen. We got to go bring the deen to the people. You know, I was embarrassed, but I told him, Akhi, your statement is proof that you don't come to the masjid regularly. Your statement is proof you're not on this deen, because if you were, you see the people accepting Islam day after day, week after week, month after month. The sisters see it and we see it. Yeah, brother just accepted Islam. My mother just accepted Islam. Brother on a job accepted Islam. Driving on a bus gave somebody a shahada. Where the people at talking about we need to bring the message to the people? People accepting Islam left and right. And I remember one day advising some of the people to go out and give the da'wah in Philadelphia. We were at a little get together. The brother went out to buy some soda, or I don't know, potato chips or whatever, to continue our little gathering. Just when he was leaving, he said, wait a minute, I was supposed to call the cashier to Islam. He went back, wait a minute, do you want to be a Muslim? Cashier said, you know what, I heard about Islam before and I was thinking about it. That's all I needed. What do I got to say to be a Muslim? Gave him a shahada right there on the spot. These people talking about what we need to do is what they need to do. Because they go to work every day, but they ain't called nobody on their job to Islam. They go to school, they ain't called nobody in school in Islam. They have a business or whatever, they don't call none of their customers to this deen. So they think, ain't nobody calling to Islam and ain't nobody accepting Islam. But the people practicing Islam, alhamdulillah, they say alhamdulillah. And the stupid kuffar know more than they know. As they say, Islam is the fastest growing religion in America, and he's still talking about we need to call the people to Islam. Subhanallah. This comes when we don't hold fast to this Quran and the Sunnah, and we think that there is some success in any aspect in our lives other than this Quran and the Sunnah. We just make fools of ourselves. And the Muslims have only harmed the Muslims when they went out to get this Western education, when they went out to study with the kuffar. How are you going to go and sit down in the university of the deaf, dumb, and blind and think you're going to learn something? How are you going to learn from a man who has ears but doesn't hear, eyes but doesn't see, a mind but doesn't think? He's like an animal, rather he's farther astray. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the disbelievers. We think we're going to go get something to benefit the Muslims. Wallahi, the Muslims haven't gotten anything from the kuffar except kufr and corruption. And proof of it is, since we've been studying with them, we don't have no civilization. We don't have no power since we went to study from them. But when you look back at yesterday, when the Muslims didn't learn from the Kufar, we find the Muslims had power. And now, today, in record-breaking numbers, the Muslims are graduating from the universities. Anytime somebody wants to go to any university, anywhere in America, on graduation day, you see how many numbers. And I remember the day when I graduated, man, subhanAllah, I had to be 50 or more Muslims in our graduating class of about 700 or something. Muslims graduate in every semester in all of these colleges. Especially the Muslims who have come from other countries. They in large numbers in these universities. And if you think they're not, it's almost no major university in America without an MSA, a Muslim Student Association. They're so big, it's unbelievable, this organization. Because everywhere on the university campuses you have this. We ain't got one hospital. We're the Muslim hospital. We got all these Muslims graduating from med school. We say we got to send it because we need Muslim doctors. Well, you need a Muslim doctor for you working in a Kaffir hospital. You got to pay $500 for x-ray or something. And we're talking about this is benefit for the Muslims. SubhanAllah al-Azim. We have mentioned this before about sending our daughters to the universities, talking about the women need medicine as we need women doctors. Ain't no women doctors. Where the Muslim women doctors at? In the Kaffir hospital somewhere serving the Kufar. Andy, as the brother said, uncovered, mutabarrijat. You wouldn't even know as a Muslim. Mm-hmm. You walk in the hospital, the lady says, Salaamu alaikum. You look at her. Why are you saying that? Wa alaikum. She said, Wa alaikum, I'm a Muslim. This is the type of Muslim lady that went out to college that's going to benefit the Muslim ummah. I'm not trying to belittle knowledge of the worldly affairs. Because the Muslims are the first people who are concerned about every aspect of their lives. But I'm trying to show that hanging out with these kuffar is no benefit for us. And trying to think that what they got is the yardstick ain't no benefit. And we need to look at the statement of Malcolm X, rahimahullah, as he used to tell the people sometimes, we don't have the same yardstick you got. Your yardstick is of oppression and ignorance and stealing and cheating and lying. We got another yardstick called the Quran and the Sunnah. We got our yardstick and we need to put it in front of us so we can see what's good and what's bad. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the next hadith, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, Anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha anin najas, anin najash. Collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited najash. Najash is to make the price higher in order to deceive someone. For example, you go into the store, you have one of your boys working. He's helping you out in the store, but he's appearing to the rest of the people as a customer. When somebody comes in and says, how much is that? His boy said, I'll give you $15 for that. The thing only worth $10. When he see it, he said, nah, let me get that. He said, oh, you really need it? All right, go ahead, you can have it. And get it for $15. He didn't. The man never told him what the real price was. His friend just pushed it up for him in order to do it. This type of cheating is called najish. And the Prophet ﷺ prohibited it. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد اللهم رب العالمين Say the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited this, and this is a way of cheating. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, ذَكَرَ الرَّجُلٌ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ يَخْضَعُ فِي الْبُيُوعِ فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ بَايَعْتَ فَقُلْ لَا خِلَابَ لَا خِلَابَ. And this is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where a man was mentioned that he deceives the people in his business practices to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, whoever sells something, then say to him, don't cheat. Whoever is selling something, his product or whatever, then tell him, don't cheat, as to advise him to stay away from this, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited cheating in the business practices. This last hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من خبب زوجة تمرئ أو مملوكه فليس منا. Collected by Abu Dawood, and it's authentic, where the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever deceives somebody's wife or his slave or servant, then he is not from amongst us. Here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is showing the cheating or the deceit that takes place. I don't like couple so and so. I don't like him to be married to her. He ain't no good, how he get her? Something like that. So what they do is they try to go, how you doing, akhi? You married to sister so and so, right? She hang out down such and such. She don't. Nah, could have swore I saw her down there. She's talking to this guy over there or something. So when the brother's like, what? Then he goes home, tell his wife, yeah, what you doing hanging down? She rode her car past there or something. So she said, what? Yeah, I went by. I said, did you go by such and such today? Yeah, I was down there. Then he say, he put one and one together, whatever, come out with seven, and dog his wife out. Because this person is putting that lie or that deceit or that into their marriage in order to break up the marriage. And some of the women, they do this, unfortunately. We hear, you know, nowadays, especially in the polygynous marriages, where the women call up, they tell the sister, congratulations, I hear you have a new co-wife. May Allah bless you. You know, then they're saying it in a way really to make the lady feel bad. Or they call her up, Assalamu alaikum, how you doing? Oh, you too? I'm sorry. can't help you on this one. And the people are doing this in order to make a lady feel bad, in order to say, yeah, yeah, what I'm doing. And the ways that people unfortunately do in order to break up couples. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he prohibited this. And he said, whoever does this is not from amongst us. Whoever does this is not from amongst us. So we see the prohibition of spreading the corruption in the family life. And we see that on the opposite side, that the Muslims, we need to work together. And to help one another to do that which is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And not always convincing the people to do what's wrong. You put your son in IDS? You ain't hear that the Kafir Chad school is better? Yeah, people have the audacity to tell the Muslims, you got your children in a Muslim school? What you gonna do? What your child gonna do with a Muslim education? Kufar got a better mind than this Muslim. How can a Muslim say this? And people act like it's a surprise. Wallahi, he has said so much, you can't even imagine it. The Muslims discouraging the Muslims from going to the Kafir school, talking about how that's going to benefit you in life. Got to get somebody going to live without money? Better get a job. And I'm amazed that somebody can say that living in America, land of the homeless. Yeah, you have a million or more homeless people in America with no jobs. Just walk up and down the street and been living on the street for 20 years. Living. How he make it for 20 years with nothing? And here goes somebody with iman and taqwa and Quran and sunnah, and somebody worried about him, wallahi, they need to go worry about some people on the street instead of worrying about the Muslims on this deen. We need to work together, as we see this hadith of the Messenger of Allah, and these collections of hadith, not to cheat one another, and to start working together, and to start building the trust amongst the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there were any questions related to that.
This hadith that you didn't mention, will it benefit us if we know it just in case the Muslims bring it to us?
Yeah, I think I mentioned the English translation of it, didn't I? Yeah, so whoever shows any happiness from the calamity that befalls his brother, then Allah will show mercy on the one who the calamity has befallen, and would test or make it difficult on the one who was happy because of the misfortune that happened to the Muslim.
This is a da'if?
Yes, not authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is in general, as some of the ulama say, what is authentic is sufficient for us, that there's no need of the da'if. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, this day I perfected for you your deen. What does that mean? It doesn't need anything else. This deen is sufficient. Alright, what has been authentically reported to the Prophet is a part of this deen. What has not been is not a part of this deen. How could something not a part of this deen, what is the need for it? And most of the time, or as some of the times anyway, there is something authentic that is sufficient for us. As Imam al-Nawawi rahimullah, he brought some of the general ayat and the general hadith of the Messenger of Allah والسلام, that are authentic, that will show that a Muslim isn't happy at the misfortune of his brother Muslim, as some of the Muslims are just waiting for the failure of the Muslims. How are you going to be a Muslim? I don't even understand it, you know. How are you going to want the Muslims to fail and you're a Muslim? I don't think that school will make it. What school? The Muslim school. You Muslim? Yeah. Ya akhi, subhanallah. How you want your own thing to fail? Ya akhi, I want my store to fail. Why you open your store? I want it to fail. Ya akhi, subhanallah al-azim. I think the Muslims, you know, we need to get serious about this deen and to take from it what is authentic and to leave away from it that which is not authentic. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. If the brothers and sisters in Philly have any questions, inshallah ta'ala, or comments, we can take them now.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I have a question that's a little bit off the issue.
Yes.
A brother I know, he got married to a sister, but the sister is pregnant, not by him. And from the best of my ability, I told him it wasn't a good marriage. But he wants the evidence. Can you give him the evidence? Is it possible, inshallah?
I don't remember it real clearly now. But in general, it's that you can't put your seed on top of somebody else's seed. Once that lady is pregnant, nobody can marry her until she delivers her load. Because before a lady can get married, she has to finish her iddah period. How she finish her iddah period, she's still pregnant. So it's not permissible for a Muslim man to marry a lady pregnant by someone other than her. Excuse me, other than him. Anyway, people, you know, these people, they ask for proof. They want to make Islam ugly, and then they say, what's your proof? Islam is beautiful. You just bring any trash you want into Islam and call it Islam and say, bring me your proof, this trash, not Islam. That marriage is not valid, and it's not permissible for that man to be with that lady.
And when he realizes Islam is beautiful, he'll let that lady go until she delivers her load. And then he wants to marry her, then he'll marry her Islamically, inshallah.
How should it be handled? Should he announce to everybody that was there that the marriage is no good?
It was done publicly?
It was done in the brother's house. It was done in the sister's house. And a lot of people was there.
All of the people should be informed to what took place and that they're no longer husband and wife, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what.
Jazakallah khair.
Yes. Atlantic City, if you have any questions, inshallah ta'ala will handle them now.
Yes. Would you give us the tafsir of the ayat in the Quran, Surah 4, ayat 97 to 100? We're asking this question only because the amount of people who misunderstand the term hijrah, thinking it's moving from one community to another community that may be a little better, which may have more Muslims there, but they still remain in a Kufa society.
We really dealt with that ayat in three talks. The first one was the ayat relating to hijrah, and the second one was the hadith relating to hijrah, and the third one was the statements of the ulama relating to hijrah. If you all want to refer back to those three tapes, we have it in the bookstore. And then if you have some questions, you can ask them after that.
I'm really asking the question after that, because we do have the information, but you know, we keep going over and over it, and some people continue telling us after that, and I explained to them, one, that hijrah means leaving the Kufr society, going to Islamic society where there are a majority of Muslims and where there are Muslim rulers. Also in the hadith of the Prophet relation to hijrah, where they talk about if a person becomes a Muslim in a Kafir society and still stays in that Kafir society, that his good deeds aren't even, you know, good deeds.
Yeah, I think if that lecture didn't convince them, Akhi, I don't know what's going to convince them. But nobody's made you a guardian over the people. And nobody's made any of us a guardian over the people. It's for us to present the deen to the people, and whoever wants to, let him accept it and practice it and be rewarded. And whoever wants to, let him refuse it and don't practice it and be punished. You're not a guardian over people. If anybody could have been a guardian, it could have been the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know how many people he brought this message to? Straight from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the people rejected it? What problem do we have? You brought the evidence to somebody, said, nah, I ain't accepting that. Okay, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We got to accept it. You keep saying, you keep going over it. If you got it down, you straight. What difference does it make if somebody else don't practice it? Wallahi, none of us, inshallah, are giving this message, this deen, out to the people to make the people practice something, or to say, I put the people on something. This knowledge has been around by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission for all of humanity to practice it, to be rewarded. Whoever wants it, it's available. Whoever doesn't, that's on them. We're not going to, I mean, what you going to do? You present the message to the people, they accept it, alhamdulillah. If not, alhamdulillah. Ain't nobody no guardian over people. You can't make nobody become a Muslim, or you can't make nobody accept the evidence. How could you, when the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, live right with the people who tried to kill him? How are you going to try to kill the one who's coming directly from your Lord? So what do you think they're going to do from us? We stumbling over the little bit we got, half understanding that. It's not even amazing that the people don't accept it sometimes. And I tell the people that I don't feel bad. I don't feel ashamed. I'm not even amazed if the people say, Abu Muslim says such and such, I ain't taking that. I mean, how is that going to hurt me? I hope that I took it first. I mean, this deen isn't just talking, this deen is practice too. And I hope that all of us, what we know about this deen, we try to practice it. And know that we going to have to stand by ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to be worried about that person. That person ain't going to be worried about you on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and you ain't going to be worried about him. If you presented the message, you did your job, keep on moving.
all the way up to East Orange. Because Atlantic City, it's clear as you keep telling us week after week that people don't want to accept it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Let us just take before the salat if the brothers and sisters at Asbury Park have any questions.
No, we don't have any questions.
Exactly.
Have a question from Philly?
Yes.
On deceitful business practices. If you are selling, the person is selling, you know, those Tommy Hilfiger shirts or Guess jeans and things, and they're, you know, they're pirated. And if you tell the person who's buying it's pirated, this is not the real thing, is this still permissible to sell that?
I don't know nothing about all this pirating and stuff. You got to ask somebody who knows. If it's cheating or it's not cheating, I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.